It's good, isn't it? The wonder of it all. I was sitting there, and you know, I preached. The Lord's been so good, opened up a lot of doors for us. Somebody said to my family, "Boy, you all sure take a lot of vacations." And they think we're not here, but the Lord's been good. He's opened up a lot of doors. I've been preaching just about every service somewhere for the last few months, and we're thankful for that. God has been so good. But every church you go in, the sound system is different. You know, the sound system sometimes, I believe, has the devil living in them, you know? And there's nothing that bothers a sound person any more than when they start hearing a ring and things like that. Well, I was sitting there, and I turned the microphone on as the Seamans were beginning to sing. And I love that song, you know. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I found myself singing. I said, "Lord, please don't let this thing be coming through this microphone." Because a lot of the churches that I'm preaching at, you know, they, once you turn it on, you're on, you know. And so I usually don't turn it on until I get up there. But I knew that you do things a little bit differently here. And I thank the Lord for that. And you thank the Lord for that too, because you didn't hear me sing along with him. I would have made a trio, a quartet, and it probably would not have been good at all. We have done a lot of traveling over the years back and forth between Florida and Tennessee. And we would leave after church service, either on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. And our goal was to make it to Tennessee without, you know, staying all night somewhere. So 12 hours on the road, leave about 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night sometimes, about 8 o'clock. And you know how men are, you know, we're not stopping. And that's just how it is. We're going to get there. And the kids were wanting to get there. It didn't matter about me being, you know, the sleep deprivation or anything like that. We just got to get there. Well, when we would be riding up the road, I would put in a CD, or I'd find something on the radio. It didn't matter what. I just needed noise. And I had this tendency to try to harmonize with whoever it is singing. Well, I cannot sing harmony. I can't sing melody, much less harmony. And my kids inevitably would say, "Dad, please." And I was sitting there, and I was trying to do something like harmony, and I thought, "Lord, please, don't let anybody hear what I just did." And I was glad I wasn't sitting next to my kids, because my son would have been punching me saying, "Dad, hush, hush, Dad." You know? Well, I'm glad to be here. God has been good, and I love to preach. And I love this church. We're thankful for it. We've been coming here for almost a year, been members here for 7 or 8 months now, and God's used this church in our lives. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we don't know many of you, and you don't know us very well, but it's not because we don't want to know you. It's just the opportunity for me to preach has been there, and like I said, I love to preach. I love to eat, but I'd rather preach than eat. Now, I'm telling you, that means a lot, right? Because I am a Baptist. Every Baptist church I've ever pastored, we had a lot of things that involved food. And one thing I like about this church is you do that here too. You know, that's a great thing. Well, I'm done with all my things before. I want you to take the Word of God and turn with me tonight. I have prayed about what I was going to preach ever since Brother Jenkins asked me, you know, to preach. And there was one message that I told my wife 3 weeks ago. I said, "I think this is what I'm going to preach." And it has in that, you know, it's in Titus chapter number 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope." You know, so in that message was going to be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm sitting back there, and that's not what I'm preaching tonight. And then Brother Seaman said, "Maybe you ought to preach on that." And I'm sitting there saying, "Lord, is that a message from you? I mean, do I need to preach on that tonight?" And then another message that came to my mind was, I think the last time I preached here, I preached Ephesians chapter number 1. And I preached on, "For he hath made us accepted in the blood." And then I preach another sermon right after that on the wonder of it all. And so they're sitting there singing that song, you know, the wonder of it all. And I said, "Lord, is that a sign? Is that what I'm supposed to preach?" But I know what God wants me to preach, and I was praying about it last night, and this is what he gave me. And, you know, preachers are peculiar people. And what I do is I preach till I'm done. Sometimes that's a blessing to people, and sometimes it's not. I preach, you know, it's a blessing when you have those sermons that 15 minutes, you're done. But it's a burden when you have those that, you know, 2 hours. And no, I'm just kidding. I don't think I've ever preached that. One time I preached an hour. I didn't realize I'd preached an hour, but everybody else did. And they told me about it. So I decided, you know, Lord, I don't think that that was something I need to be doing again. So if you'll stop me, I would appreciate it. I don't know how long I'm going to preach tonight, but I promise you I'll preach until God tells me to stop. But I believe this is a message that can be a blessing to us. So I'd like for you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Would you please stand with me in honor of the Word of God? 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going to read two verses of Scripture, and we're going to glean on this one verse. And I pray that God will use it just to be an encouragement to you tonight. Verse number 6. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." And here's our verse I want us to look at tonight. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I like to title my sermons, if I can, from the Bible, directly from the Bible. I've heard sermon titles. I heard one fellow preach on left-handed green beans. You know, I've heard different sermon titles, but I like to get my title, if I can, from the Bible. And my title from the Bible tonight would be, "For He Careth for You." But if I were to give you another title, it would be, "Oh yes, He cares." I want you to pray with me, would you please? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to be here. We thank You for this church, for its faithfulness for these many years. I thank You for this pulpit and the Word of God that has been preached and taught and given, and souls that have been saved. Lord, tonight I realize there's an awesome responsibility of standing right here. Lord, may I be guided by Thee. I need You, Lord. I can't preach without You. But Lord, with You, I know that You can take Your Word and prick people's hearts with it. And somehow, some way, that You can use me. And I pray that You would do that tonight. Lord, most of all, I pray that if there's one here tonight without Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the night they trust Thee. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray tonight through Your Word we'd be encouraged to go on for Thee. Lord, may we not be weary in well-doing, but Lord, may we keep our eyes on Thee, and Lord, may we press toward that mark, the prize of the high calling, Christ Jesus. May Thy will be done. We give this time to Thee. And we give You the glory now for all that shall be accomplished through Thy Spirit and through Thy Scriptures. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What a book this little 5-chapter epistle is. Peter's writing, and he writes 1 Peter and 2 Peter. There's no doubt his name is tied to these books, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that he's writing as a direct result of an encounter he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ was speaking to him in Luke chapter number 22, he says, "And the Lord said," Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Then Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now the Lord Jesus is God the Son. He is God. He knew that Peter was going to make his mistakes. He knew that Peter was going to mess up. He knew that Peter was going to deny Him. He understood all these things because He is God. And He's telling Peter, He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." But then he says this, and boy, these are great words, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, now he's not talking about being saved. Peter's already saved. But when you turn back to doing the right thing, living for me, you remember Peter strayed out there. You remember he said, I go fishing? The Lord Jesus found him out there, and you know the story. I don't want to get into that because that's a whole other sermon, and we will be here for 2.5 hours. But he said, I have prayed for thee. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, I believe that the epistle of 1 Peter and 2 Peter are the direct result of that statement, strengthen thy brethren. Because during this time, there was a man by the name of Nero that was leading this great, great persecution against believers. And Peter's writing to these Jewish believers, if you will. He's writing to them, and when you read these epistles, you're going to find out everything he says is strengthening them. It's helping them to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne, and you're going to see that Jesus is coming again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Jesus is coming. But this one verse of Scripture says so much. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. But then he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. These believers were going through it. Persecution, no doubt, was all around and affecting their lives. I can only imagine what all was taking place. And there was trouble on every side. There were the cares of life that they were dealing with. And Peter says, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, casting all your care upon him. And I want to look tonight, first of all, at this. The burden of your cares. Casting all your care upon him. When I think about the cares of life, I think automatically my mind goes to sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow in life, isn't there? I'm 44 years old, and I know that's young compared to some, it's old compared to some. But the further along I go in life, one thing I guess I could say is sometimes life's just not fair. We, you know, everybody thinks everything's even kilter and everybody ought to be on the same plane. And, you know, that's just not the way life is. And there are things that attack our bodies. There are things that attack our lives. There are troubles and trials that are all around us that bring great sorrow to our life. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 16? And I want to look at just a few things here. We'll go a couple different places. But the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says in John chapter 16 in verse number 1, these things have I spoken unto you. And by the way, you can go back and begin reading in chapter number 13, and you can see he's with his disciples in an upper room. And here, if you'll remember, is where he humbles himself. And I heard somebody put it this way, and what an awesome statement this is. When he's there washing the disciples' feet, it's God on his knees with men's feet in his hands. Think about that, the humility of the Lord. When Peter writes, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, dear friends, we ought not have a problem with humbling ourselves. Because the Lord will exalt us. But he begins here, and you know the story, how that there was a lot of things going on there in the upper room as he washes the disciples' feet. And then he begins to speak to them, and he begins to tell them some troubling news. He says, one of you is going to betray me, and Peter's going to deny me. But then in chapter 14, he begins, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Whenever he told troubling news, he always backed it up by letting us know that our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in Christ. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. And they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you think that he doeth God's service. And These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Now, these things are not what we just read. You have to go back and read previous things. And we're not going to do that tonight. It's something you can do in your Bible study. But he said, sorrow is in your heart. Now, here are some people that are following the Lord. But you know what he says? Sorrow's going to come. Life is filled with sorrow. And part of the burden of our cares are the sorrows of life. There are things that happen to us that we did not ask for. There are things that have happened to us that we never thought would take place in our lives. There are sicknesses that have stricken our lives that we never would have imagined. All kinds of things, all kinds of sorrows. Can I tell you tonight that it does rain on the just and the unjust? These preachers on TV that wants to tell you that once you get saved, everything's going to be grand and glorious and you'll have no more problems, to have not read the Bible. Because the Bible teaches us in the world we will have tribulation. Paul was writing to Timothy and he said, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John, in that wonderful high priestly Lord's Prayer, if you'll read in John chapter number 17, the Lord Jesus says he's praying for those that are in this world, but then he says, but they are not of this world. We have to understand that life is filled with sorrow. Number two, suffering. Sorrow brings suffering, but there are sufferings that come to all of us. Would you look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, please. Now, we're going somewhere with this, if you'll bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, what's the Bible say? In Christ, we're going to have suffering because we belong to him and we're not of this world. This world is against the things of Christ. We have to understand that. The Bible says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. I want to focus on the suffering part of this. I want us to see that the Bible says there will be sorrow. You can be living right with God. You can be doing right with God. You can be serving the Lord exactly where you're supposed to be serving the Lord, but it does not eliminate sorrow and suffering. It's just part of life. And as long as we're in a sin-filled world, there will be sorrow and suffering. We must understand that as sorrow and suffering is a part of our life, there's things that we can look at and see where it comes from. We think about the cares of our life, the care of family. Sometimes we go through difficult things in families. Children don't do what they're supposed to do, or things don't happen the way that you thought they would happen. We see family, friends. We sometimes have the care of friends and we have all kinds of difficulties sometimes with our friendships and the care of the future. I was watching today, and by the way, I get caught up in this so many times But I was sitting there and I was thinking about what I was going to be preaching tonight, and I was looking at all this stuff that's going on in our country right now, and you know, everybody is absolutely wringing their hands over this debt crisis. Now, I'm not going to get political whatsoever. I want you to understand that. But what I am going to say to you is this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And I was sitting there listening, and I found myself trying to get a little anxious. And it was almost like the Lord said, you going to trust me or not? I'm in control. And it does not matter what happens in Washington, D.C. It does not matter what happens in Moscow. It does not matter what happens in China. I want you to know God is still on the throne. And regardless of what takes place, He's going to take care of us. Isn't that what He promised? Brother Seaman's class this morning, he was asking for all kinds of things, all kinds of promises. And I was sitting there listening to him. And I thought, boy, I like that. That's good. You know, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All the promises of God are true. The Bible teaches us that God is going to take care of His children. But that does not mean that there will not be sorrow and suffering along the way. The future may not look as bright for some as it does for others. But truthfully tonight, if you belong to the Lord, the future is brighter and brighter all the time. When we think about the cares of life, we think about the cares of family, the cares of friend, the cares of the future, the cares of our finances. How many people are looking for jobs right now? These are certainly things, cares that we have. Living in this life, there will be cares. There's the cares of the present, the things that are going on around us. I don't know what's happening in most of you, probably any of your lives other than my own family, for the most part. I don't know the suffering and the sorrow that you're facing. But I can tell you that there are others that are going through the same thing or similar things. And life is filled with suffering. And life is filled with sorrow. Now, we can do several things with that. We can sit and worry and fret and wring our hands all the time and all the day long, or we can listen to Peter. And by the way, I don't think any of us are going through persecution as far as from the world the way that these believers were going through it. But I do know that there are some sicknesses in this church. It breaks my heart. There are people that are sick that I don't even know, people that we pray for that I've never met. There are people that we do know in this church that have sicknesses, cancers, and facing difficult surgeries. We pray for those things. I've been so encouraged by some of the people I've seen that have been stricken with certain illnesses to watch them as they trust the Lord and give a testimony of the grace of God. I've had the privilege of being a pastor to many people that would give those great testimonies. I always dreaded the sicknesses, and I'd always go in and say, I'm going to try to go and be a blessing. I'll never forget one dear lady that she used to sing in our church all the time, and she's just a little old lady. I mean, you know, she's just one of those country ladies. She is about yay tall. And her song was, for the God on the mountain, it's still God in the valley. You know the song? And she would, going through the valley, she had cancer. And I'll never forget going to her house and watching her. She got weaker and weaker. And she probably didn't weigh 100 pounds to begin with. She got down so small. And I go to her house and watch as her body would just begin to go away. And I try to say something to encourage her and say, now, Miss Bobby, I'm praying for you. And she'd always say, "Brother Joe, God's right here with me." And I thought, through sorrow and suffering, there is a promise and there is a hope. And that brings me to my second point tonight. We've seen the burden of our cares. We have them, don't we? Life is filled with sorrow and suffering. Life is filled with cares. But I want us to see, secondly, the blessing of His care. What does the Bible say? Casting most of your care on Him. No. Am I wrong? Casting some of your care. Is that what it says? No. See, I'm trying to emphasize this. I want to be sure you're awake. I drank a cup of coffee before I came, so I'll be sure and stay awake while I was preaching. I tried to get my whole family to. They wouldn't. I think my daughter drank some because she'd feel real bad if she fell asleep on me while I was preaching. But what does the Bible say? I want you to say that word with me, all right? Casting all your care upon Him. Did you know there's not one thing He can't handle? There's not one trouble He cannot take care of. John 16:33, He says, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's a good verse, isn't it? The blessing of His care is casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And on tonight, I want you to know that Jesus cares for you. I want you to think about the sorrows of life. Go back with me to John chapter number 16. He doesn't just leave us hanging there. He doesn't leave us with sorrow filling our heart. In verse 7 through 15, He says, "I got to go away. It's needful, it is necessary for me to go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, it was necessary because now God can be with us everywhere we go, because the moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit makes His abode in our lives. I'm never without the Lord, ever." In His flesh, He could truly be one place at one time. "I've got to go away, but don't be afraid, because when I go away, I'm sending another Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God." And so he begins to tell them all these things, and he says in verse number 16, after he talks about the Spirit of God coming and being with us and guiding us into all truth, he says, "A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of His disciples among themselves, "What is this that He saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go unto the Father?" They said, "Therefore, what is it that He saith? A little while. We cannot tell what He saith." Now Jesus knew, He was still God. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful." But listen to this. "But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And we could go on and we could talk about this, but he is talking to these disciples and he says, yes, there's going to be sorrow. The world's going to be rejoicing, but you are going to have sorrow. But hang on, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I love what the psalmist said. He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to understand, yes, this life is filled with sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy if you have Jesus as your Savior. God can give victory here, certainly, but the greatest victory is going to be over there. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, I'm going. I'm going to be with him. And God himself will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sad goodbyes. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more of these things. The blessing of his care is the fact that, yes, there is sorrow, but that sorrow shall be turned into joy. What about the suffering? Romans 8, verse 18 says it better than I could say it. The Bible says, I'll begin in verse number 16. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, that's where it begins. You've got to be saved. You've got to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that heaven's going to be your home. It's not a hope-so salvation. It's not a maybe-so salvation. It is a no-so salvation, dear friends. You can know that you're saved. You do not have to doubt your eternity. The Bible says that we know that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. Now listen to verse 18. For I reckon, he was from the south, there is no doubt about it. I reckon, you know. That's a good word, isn't it? Those of you from the north, we would just spend a week in New York. They wouldn't know what I mean if I said, well, I reckon. But I know what I mean, right? For I reckon, listen, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I want you to see tonight that life is filled with cares, cares of sorrow and cares of suffering. And as believers, the Bible says that we are to cast our cares upon him. That word cast is a wonderful word. It means to throw it over to someone else or on something else. And tonight, we are invited to take the cares of our sorrow and our suffering and put them over on Jesus because he cares for us. Now notice what the Bible says, casting all your care. You understand that's a plural word, right? All your care, because in that care is all the cares of our life. It's plural. We have many, many cares. For he careth, singular. We are so important to him that he's dealing with us in a singular way tonight. Personally, he's saying, casting all your care, everything we have, because he careth for you. The truth of the matter is this tonight. We're all facing something, and we're either carrying it ourselves or we've given it to the Lord. Can I say that if we carry it ourselves, it will weigh us down. But if we give it to the Lord, then regardless of the outcome, we'll know that he's in control and he's going to take care of all these things. I'll close with this story. Years ago, there was a man by the name of Frank. I believe you pronounce his name Grafe. And he went through a very difficult experience, no doubt. Very, heartbreaking experience. Later on in his life, he said that his whole attitude became one of despair and defeat. And it produced a life. It produced a life that there was absolutely no happiness. There was nothing that would identify him with the Lord. He lost sight of the one who cares. The one that knows all about the heartaches, knows all about the griefs. The one that was willing to bear his burden if he would cast his care over to him. And each day he was going further and further and further and into this pit of sorrow. And somebody said as Bunyan's pilgrim, he was going deeper into the slough of despair until one day he felt like he could take it no longer. And he was extremely defeated and discouraged and began to sing a song that had been born many years earlier through a similar experience. And the song was, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Frank Grave could go no longer, and he dropped down to his knees and he began to pour out his heart to this one that cared. And there was a peace that came over and into his soul and began to flood his soul with great joy. And he hollered out, he said, "I know he cares. I know my Savior cares." And just a little while later, he sat down and he penned these words: "Does Jesus care? When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, has the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it all to him? Does he see?" And the chorus says, "Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." And I don't know what you're going through. You may not be facing something great right now, some difficulty. Somebody said we're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or going into one. That's life. God didn't promise a bed of roses. But you know what God did promise? That he would never leave us, nor forsake us. And so in the valley of despair, I want you to know you're not alone. The sicknesses may come, but he's there with you. It may bring us to the end of life here in this world. But at the end of this life, for those that know Christ, is a bright and glad morning where we'll never be stricken with sickness again. Oh yeah, we may have sorrow. We may have difficulty. The world may be rejoicing. But one day, we will see him again. And when we see him again, our sorrow will be turned into joy. But until then, he cares. Oh yes, he cares. Whatever the burden, he cares. Whatever the sorrow, he cares. Whatever the suffering, he cares. And his grace truly is sufficient. But we must cast our care upon him because he really does care for us. May God help us tonight to find great comfort in the fact that while this world may be going in a whole another direction, and they may be in turmoil, we can have a peace that passes all understanding. The greatest thing I've seen in people that know the Lord in times of great illness, or even in the instant before death, is the great peace they have because they're not facing it alone. There's an old song in what they used to call the old red book, "I Won't Have to Cross the Jordan Alone." I guess it moves me a little bit to think that it's not that he'll just meet me at the river. He'll go with me until the day of death. He'll be with me when I die. He'll be with me when I'm there. And I'll be in his presence to be able to see him face to face. I'll be like him then. But until then, everywhere I go, the Lord's always with me. Right there with me, everywhere. And every care I have, he wants me to place it on him. He'll take care of the cares and sorrows of life. Doesn't mean they'll go away, but he will give us the grace to go through the storms and through the trials. That's his promise. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes. He cares. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, I want you to know he cares for you. He cared enough to die on the cross for your sins. He cared enough for you to take your place. He cared enough for you to die in your place. If you're here tonight without Christ as Savior, you're carrying the greatest burden that this world's ever known. That's a burden of an eternity in a place called hell. Because without Christ, that's surely where you will be. If you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, praise the Lord for that. This gentleman, as he was writing this song, he had to come to that point. He got so low. He tried to carry the burden alone, but then he cast his care upon the Lord. And in casting his care upon the Lord, you know what? You know what he found? He found a Savior that cared. I don't know what you're carrying tonight, but if you're carrying it yourself and not allowing the Lord to carry it, why don't you give it to the Lord tonight? Place that burden on him. He wants to bear that burden. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, then won't you come and let us show you how to be saved? Let me get a witness here just for a second. If you're here tonight, say, "Preacher, I know I am saved. Heaven's going to be my home. I'm not perfect. I've not done everything just right, but I know there was a day and time in my life where I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asked him to forgive my sin, come in my life, be my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven." Would you raise your hand? I'm saved tonight. I'm not perfect, but I am saved. God bless you. If you're here tonight, say, "Preacher, if Jesus were to come tonight, if my life were to come to an end tonight, heaven would not be my home, and I care enough about eternity that I'd ask that you'd pray for me." Would you raise your hand, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me." Would there be one? Would there be somebody here? Most of us, maybe even all of us, raise our hand, we were saved. As believers, we have the blessed privilege of casting our care upon him. Maybe tonight you need to come and just give something to the Lord Jesus. Cast your care upon him. He will take care of you because he cares. Father, may thy will be done in this time of invitation. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. We trust you, Lord, to help us to do thy will. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's stand to our feet quietly tonight. Brother Gary's going to sing, "Does Jesus Care?" Maybe you need to come. We're not going to tarry long. I'm not going to stand and beg you to come, but if God has spoken to you, would you come as Brother Seaman begins to sing this song? Maybe you just need to come. Give it to the Lord. Come on. Come on. Are you carrying something? that He's willing to carry for you. Would you come?
As the burdens press and the cares,
would you come? Is God dealing with you? Would you come?
Grows weary and long.
Is there a burden that you're bearing that He can bear for you? I'm glad He cares. Yes.
His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior.
Let's sing another stanza. This is for you. If you need to come, now's the time. All these are praying.
Does Jesus care when my way is dark? With a nameless dread and fear.
Think about that.
As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be?
Everybody singing the chorus.
Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief.
What a Savior we have.
When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Many of you know about the Andersons' granddaughter, Piper, that was born this last week, and she'd been doing so well. Just got a report that her blood is beginning to clot. She's on an ECMO machine, and they're going to have to take her off of that machine, and she'll die, or she may die from blood clotting. And Lynn is here in the altar, and I want you folks that the Lord is touching your heart about this, let's come and pray. John and Jennifer are the parents, have to make a very, very difficult decision here in just the next few moments. I'd like to ask you men to come that would like to come and pray for little Piper, just a few days old. And needs a touch from heaven. John and Jennifer need our prayers. Very difficult time for the family. And let's come and pray for them. And we'll take care of John here in just a minute. I'm going to ask Brother Ira Hay to pray. Ira was in the same boat years ago. Had some grandchildren that were born that they didn't think would make it. And they're big strapping boys now. And Tim's growing up and he's been there and understands that. Brother Ira, ask you to pray. Lead us in prayer for little Piper and John and Jennifer. Just encourage you as you go your way this evening that you remember the Andersons, John and Jennifer. They're there in Nashville, the hospital, and pray for this family. Difficult times, and God can change this whole situation. God has the power to do it, and let's be praying and considering that this evening. John, my man, John, you want to stand up, buddy? John came to me this week, I think Tuesday night, and said he got saved in Bible school. He was funny. He said, "Are you going to baptize me?" He said, "I'm soaked already." So he was ready for baptism, and he went to Brother Bennett and said, "Now I'm your brother." So he's only 5 or 6 years old, But God has given him some understanding. We rejoice. And he wants to be baptized next Sunday, and we'll vote on him next Sunday morning. But it's exciting to see our children trust the Lord. John said, I have no greater joy than when my children walk in the truth. And here the young man's gotten born again. He's excited about it. I believe he understands. And he wants to follow the Lord in baptism. So that's great. Thank you for the message tonight, Brother Shelton. And I've got to be honest with you. I really want to hear about the left-handed green beans. Maybe you can give me that message. I'd like to hear that. But great truth. Great truth. Isn't it amazing that God, who made everything, who controls everything, that's in charge of all this stuff, cares about my needs, cares about your needs. That's an amazing truth. That is a mark of the greatness of God. And rejoice in his care. Cast your burdens on him. He will help you. Let's be much in prayer for the Andersons. Teachers, 6:30, Wednesday night in the chapel. Again, there are several sign-up sheets. There are forms on the back table for the ladies' retreat. The verse cards, Galatians 6:9, are at the Welcome Center. And let's be busy serving the Lord this week. Let's pray and we'll go. Lord, we thank you for the great truth we've heard tonight. We rejoice in your care for us. We thank you for touching John's heart, that he's trusted you this week as Savior, and bless his life. Lord, I believe you have great things in store for him as he obeys you. And Lord, may you just touch him and give him a heart for you, I pray, in the years to come. And may he become a great servant of God. Lord, bless his life, we pray. Help him to grow now spiritually. And again, we pray for Piper, for John and Jennifer, as they have a very difficult decision to make. And Lord, even in this, we've heard about sorrows and suffering. We know you're still in control. And God, give them grace, give them glory in this time. And Lord, be thy will. God, we know you have the power to save this child's life. And Lord, if it could be thy will, we pray that you might stop this clotting. You might solve the problems it's having. Lord, we know you can. And Lord, if not, we ask you to give grace and minister to this family in their time of need. Bless us this week. Help us to live for you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to come up. Hey, John, stay right here, buddy. Come up here and shake John's hand.